Most of you know me well enough that when we come to a certain passage in Scripture, I usually stick with that particular passage, expository preaching. I still will follow a method of expository preaching. However, our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus, has given his holy word, his whole word, to us. And this subject of elders and deacons, although this morning will be primarily a message on elders and roles and calling, I want for us to see a number of passages where this shows up. So at the very least, we get an understanding that the role of the elders, the office of the elders, is not something that just appears in the Scriptures once or twice and that's it. You may well be persuaded of that already. That's maybe why you're here already at New Sterling ARP. But I think it's helpful for us to look in the Word of God in a little bit more detail. So I hope to have some other passages or some other texts for us. But this morning, I want us to turn, as you see in the bulletin, to Titus chapter 1, but rather than just 11 through 16, which I didn't catch that error when Blakely sent it to me for proofing, it is verse 1 through 16. I'm going to move this away because I tend to hit it. Titus chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word, through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior, to Titus, my true child in a common faith. Grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, for an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord abides forever." Amen? Amen. Our Father, we ask you, as we have read your ever-abiding word, that you would now teach us in the preaching of it, that we might come to a greater and fuller understanding of what you would have us to do and how to live, both for elders and those who would be elders, as well as those of us in the congregation whom you've called to be guided and led by the elders. We ask this all in Christ's name alone. Amen. I would think that if I began with a question here this morning, does it matter who becomes an elder? It would be fairly easy for you to answer. You would say, yes, it does matter who becomes an elder. But if I followed it up with a second question, that might be a question that's a little bit more difficult for us to answer. And that is, why does it matter? And how we understand the office, I'm calling it that right off the bat, the office of elder, will mean that we would need to understand from the scriptures what is the office of elder and why does it matter when we understand what it is that they are to do? And elders, I know that you're probably going to feel a bit picked on here this morning. That's not the intent. The intent is that as a congregation, we are completely on board with understanding that our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus, has provided the train tracks by which the church is to continue to go down the road of life. I have made the point on a couple of occasions when their voting for elders has come up, and I've asked the question to individuals when they've said, I just don't know what I want to do. I don't know who I want to vote for. And I said, well, one way is just contemplate the question. If you're on your deathbed, who do you want to visit you? Now, that's not morbid. That's real. These things happen. So, why does it matter? Well, from a life perspective, so to speak, is that when we apply for a certain job, we come to understand there's qualifications that are needed for that job. You see a job opening, and the job opening says, you must have an English major. And you go, well, it says it's a secretary, and an English major? Be real. And then you find out that the job opening for a secretary and requiring an English major is being done by the English department of a major university. Well, then you understand. Oh, that's why they need this qualification. So let me make the first point for us here when we speak about elders. Why does it matter? I would say that, especially if you're taking notes, is that the office of elder, and it is true of deacons, but I'm primarily concentrating on elders here this morning, and that the office of elder is God-ordained. God-ordained. This is not something that the church has come up with on its own. That's not so. You do see the office of elders, even in the Old Testament. Moses, by his father-in-law, is told, you need to have people who are able to rule because you can't do this all alone. And the word is translated as elders. It's not uncommon that it's an older, wiser individual. That's probably a topic for another discussion some other time. But I want you to go, first of all, to Acts chapter 6. So have your Bibles open, and some of the passages may appear on the screen, but Acts chapter 6, Most people recognize that Acts chapter 6 is the place where deacons are picked. There was trouble in the church. There were widows that were being neglected. There was needs that were expressed in the church. So I got pages stuck together. So you see, Acts chapter 6, verse 1, now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. But why was it important then for seven who are chosen to serve as deacons? The reason is found in verse 2. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." In other words, there can be so much to do within the church, within the congregation, that if the pastor or the elders, that's another topic again, is that a pastor is also an elder. Let me just combine those two and I'll try to flesh it out a little bit in a bit. But the elders can have too much to do within the congregation, which is what was happening here, and then the preaching of the word falls by the wayside. I've known pastors who have been tasked to do so much by elders and by the church board. Sometimes they call them boards, which I think is a mistake. But and ultimately, a pastor burns out. And you go, why did that happen? A pastor burning out? And then you come to understand that they are human also, and there's only so much they can do. But the point of Acts chapter 6 is this, verse 4. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So if I want to draw one particular lesson out of Acts chapter 6, it's this. What is it in the ministry among the elders? What are they to see to it that happens? And that is that the ministry of the word, or actually prayer first, and the ministry of the word has preeminence in the congregation. First and foremost is prayer and the ministry of the word. Why? Because Jesus himself said to the 12, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go out and preach and teach. It doesn't mean that serving tables is beneath their dignity. It means that God has placed officers in the church, he has urged people in the church who are members of the body to all work together so that the word of God is lifted up in the life of the church. It's not that a certain work is beyond or is below their dignity. It is that God has ordained the office of elder. So this is the serving of tables, which is primarily referred to as the deacons. But go to Acts chapter 14. We will come back to Titus chapter 1, I hope. Acts chapter 14. Barnabas and Paul are strengthening the Christians who are undergoing persecution, and before they leave, they do something. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. And when they had appointed elders, let me just point this out, plural, it's not an elder, but had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. The point that we want to get here is that when you hear in Presbyterian circles that the church operates under the plurality of elders, that's a common phrase because we're picking off of the scriptures, but this verse here, there's a plurality of elders that have been assigned or chosen to serve in Christ's church. Then go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, this is where the Apostle Paul is taking leave of the Ephesian elders. He sees and he knows that he's never going to see them again. Now, my primary emphasis here is going to be chapter 20, verse 28. Nope, that's not correct. Hang on a second, let me find it. Speaks to the elders. Okay, yes it is, verse 28, sorry, 20:28. And this is where Paul is saying, verse 27, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay attention to yourselves, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God. Well, wait a minute, Pastor, wait a minute. In this church here, the congregation picks the elders. How does that work? It says here the Holy Spirit has made the elders overseers. That's exactly what happens. It's through the congregation, the means of the congregation, that the congregation chooses the elders to be the overseers of them. And then it's an assignment that's received by the Holy Spirit to be carried out in the midst of the congregation. Now, admittedly, he says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. In other words, you make sure that the train is properly outfitted. You make sure that the locomotive is greased. You make sure that it has fuel. You make sure that the bearings are greased. You make sure about yourself. You know, it's really easy to look out there, isn't it? But we're called to look inside first. And then knowing something of our own hearts, knowing something of our own issues, knowing something of our own problems, as elders we're able to minister, we should be able to minister properly out in the congregation. The Holy Spirit has made you overseers in the congregation. I would make a point for us here, and that is that the norm is never to be a pastor and a board of deacons. I hear that referred to at different times. The danger of that, honestly, is that the pastor then effectively becomes, I think you'll understand what I'm saying, he becomes the Pope. He becomes the one who calls the shots. How it works in the Presbyterian system, if I can say, in the biblical system, is that as a pastor, I am accountable to my elders. I give account to my elders. If they have a problem with me that can't be solved, they have to go to presbytery. And then I get called to presbytery. There are committees on presbytery that deal with pastors and errant pastors. So when we see the word overseer from Acts chapter 20, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer, the Greek word to that is episkopos. You hear the word episcopal. It's the word that bishop comes from. And it's an intentional overseeing of the flock of God. Then, if I could, ask you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter 4. I've referred to it a couple times already. And that is that our gracious shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, has given us officers in the church. Remember, sometime past, I have used the word ekklesia, which is translated from the Greek church, ekklesia, which is the gathered ones, the ones who have been gathered. In other words, we are passive in a great sense. We are passive. It's God's work that illumines our minds and our hearts where we come to repentance and faith, and then we become part of this larger family known as the church, the gathered ones. But our gracious shepherd, he has given officers in the church so that the locomotive, the church, continues to go down the railroad track and continues to stay on course and doesn't go off track. But look what our Savior has done for us. Verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith. But my point is that the Lord Jesus Christ has given this to us in the church as a gift from on high, from his throne. He has sent his Holy Spirit and he has given us shepherds. Now, if you take the time, we won't go there now, but if you take the time to read Ezekiel chapter 34, the Lord just decimates those individuals who called themselves shepherds among the flock of Israel. They were false shepherds. And he goes, you guys, you feed yourself, but you don't feed the sheep. And then he says, I am going to provide one shepherd. And that's, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then from the Lord Jesus Christ flows the under shepherds. So, dear ones, elders are called to be faithful shepherds. Now, you know, we might have in our minds a shepherd sitting on a rock someplace, and he's got the staff in his hand, and he's just sitting there on a rock. But if that's all that we think about, that's really not the whole picture. We're missing some things. So I've written a few things down. Watch his eyes as he has under his care to oversee the flock. Look at him watch in the distance for any animals of prey that might be hanging around, just waiting for the right moment. See him as he pursues a sheep that has wandered off. See him gently bring the sheep back into the fold. See how he takes a wandering sheep that seems to never get tired of giving the shepherd grief. He goes over and breaks the leg of the sheep and then carries it wherever he goes. And that sheep then stays with the shepherd. He heals and he stays right close, never to be so inclined to run off again. Watch the shepherd as he inspects the sheep and treats them for any problems or any parasites or any sickness. See him look into the far corner of the field where there's a single sheep bleating. Possibly it's caught somehow and can't get back to the fold. Possibly the sheep didn't have good eyesight and came upon another animal that's actually turned out to be a goat. Maybe the shepherd can see in the distance a wolf steadily working his way to an unsuspecting little lamb. There's a lot to shepherding, dear ones, for elders to shepherd the flock. I've got another passage I want us to turn to this morning. Would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5? 1 Peter chapter 5. Right at the very beginning, you see, if you have more recent Bibles, you'll see the heading to shepherd the flock of God. So I exhort the elders among you. So you've got this plurality of elders showing up here too. As a fellow elder, Peter calls himself a fellow elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed, shepherd, now that's in the Greek, that's imperative, that's a command, that is not a just, oh well, I'll do it if I can. This is a command. Shepherd the flock of God that's among you, exercising oversight. In other words, it is intentional oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Now, I've talked about the chief shepherd. Peter does the same here. And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. So Peter recognizes the connection between the chief shepherd and the under-shepherds that the elders are called to be within the flock. Now, it's important that we recognize when Peter says, you serve not under compulsion, not domineering, but let's make a little bit, tongue-in-cheek, let's make a little bit about being examples to the flock. I know that the Apostle Paul does this. The Apostle Paul says, you follow me like I have followed Christ. Brothers, when we're called to be elders in the Church of Christ, we are called specifically to be examples to the flock. As we follow Christ, I know that we make mistakes. I know we're not perfect, but we are called to be examples to the flock so that in glory we may be able to say, you showed me Jesus. You showed me how I was to walk, and I'm forever grateful that you were like Jesus, and we get to serve Jesus together. One more passage, if you would turn back a few pages to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, not going to say anything really about the text itself, but I just want you to get a feel, both as congregation and a reminder as elders, chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do it with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So with that, I want very briefly to say something as we turn back to Titus. If you would turn back to Titus, the passage that we read, Titus chapter 1, and Lord willing, since I'm here 3 weeks in a row, we will come back to the whole office of elder and the officers in the church again. But I want to make something obvious to us, and that is that elders must be Word of God centered. I've become even more concerned and convinced about this being Word of God-centered. I happen to be going through in a Bible study, the Gospel according to Luke, and I am amazed at how often the Lord Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees add to the Word of God. And Jesus is almost always poking them in the eye. Look at verse 9 here of Titus chapter 1. He, in other words, elders, must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Now, he says, Paul says a lot more to Titus, but I want us to see this whole piece here about must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, which means, elders, you have to have a grip on the Word of God. We always need to be learning the Word of God so that those who are under our oversight, that we are able to speak to them with love, with graciousness, but with certainty, this is what God says. And it's not because the elders take pride in the fact, I'm an elder. You gotta listen to me because I'm an elder. No. It's because God has made me an overseer by the work of the Holy Spirit, and has chosen me for this task, as daunting as a task as it is. And this is how it's to be done in Christ's church. Our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, has so ordered the church. Paul says it to Titus. That's why I left you in Crete, verse 5. So that you might put what remained into order. How so? And appoint elders in every town as I directed you. What do I want to come out of this? What I want to come out of this is that we turn around and bless God that He is so gracious to give us those who care for our souls, and that we are even more willing to submit ourselves to biblical teaching and preaching so that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's to the youngest child, to the oldest individual, that Jesus Christ is most precious. Amen?